While they are being dismissed and leaving, the rest of us, we are going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1 tonight. As you could probably tell, Pastor John is away tonight, so we'll be taking a break from our normal study in Ezekiel. And as I said already, we'll be examining primarily in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll also be seeing the correlation between our text in 1 Peter and Psalm 103. So, 1 Peter chapter 1 and Psalm 103, where we'll be reading, "Blessed be Yahweh," or "Blessed be the Lord," if you prefer. Now, as Christians living in the world, you know, in the world but not of the world, oftentimes we see the wind and the waves and the hard things of being in this world all around us, and we seem to be constantly in the battle. And if you've been tracking with a lot of what the Lord has had me share over the last couple years, there's been a theme of fighting from victory, right? Christ won the victory. And so for the Christian, we never fight for victory. We fight from victory. And while, yes, we are always in the battle, whether we like to admit it or not, however, the Lord has reminded me that part of being a warrior in the greatest army that exists is rest. And so it is my hope that by examining our texts this evening, we will simply be able to sit at His feet and be reminded of His love and His mercy and His grace. And it is my hope that it will refresh us in His perfect rest, encouraged to remember the why behind the battle. The why behind our glorious hope. So let's sit at His feet tonight and read, starting at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. And Father God, we come before you tonight, Lord, just in awe of who you are. Lord, we expect that you'll talk to us tonight through your word, because that's what you do. You speak to our hearts through your word. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to my heart tonight. May we not leave this place unaware of your presence. So, Lord, be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed be Yahweh, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, or praise be to, lifting up in worship. Now, Peter writes this epistle to primarily Jewish believers around 60 to 65 AD. Okay, this will be important here in a moment. But the context here is to believers in Christ who are spread out among different regions at the time. Okay, he says it in verse 1 to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So that means modern Turkey and kind of some of the surrounding areas therein. Now, this letter is significant, well, because it's in the Word of God, but because Peter is writing to these folks who are actively being persecuted. Okay, they are dispersed. Now, we know around 64 AD in history, the Roman Emperor Nero began his harsh persecution and murderous rampage of Christians in Rome and then all over the empire therein. But more than likely at this point of the writing of 1 Peter, Nero has not quite yet kicked it into high gear. Okay, it's starting out, but not quite. So the dispersion that he talks about here is likely due to the religious Jewish rulers continuing their hell-bent mission on persecuting and eliminating converts of Christ. It's kind of like Paul did when he was still Saul, before he got knocked off of his high horse on the road to Damascus. There were others like Saul that would be sent out, and they ran off the believers in Christ. Now, I think it's important to see the text through this lens, not because we're going to be focusing on persecution tonight, but simply to say that if in the midst of the persecution that early Christians faced, the Holy Spirit felt the need to remind them of the riches and blessings of God, then all the more so, we tonight should be reminded as well. If persecution cannot and will not separate us from the love of Christ, as Romans says, then all the more so, no matter what season we find ourselves in, we have all the blessings of God. And so Peter would remind his fellow countrymen, dispersed and fighting for their lives, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Verse 3, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All praises be to God. And let's make sure we're specific here these days. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other God besides Yahweh. That's a major theme in all the Old Testament and throughout Scripture. There is no other God besides Yahweh. And he begot his only son, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ or Messiah, depending on what language, the Savior of all mankind. Our praise belongs to him. Why? Because of his abundant mercy. We don't deserve Jesus. Never have. There's nothing that we bring to the table of salvation. However, and this is when it starts to get really, really good for us. Because God sent his son, Jesus, because of his abundant mercy toward us, he paid the debt of sin we could not pay. And he paid it in full. Our spirit, dead because of sin, headed to hell. But by his grace and his mercy toward us, he paid it all. So that our spirit may be born again and our flesh put to death. And that begotten again there, being born again, because of that, it has entered us into a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection power of God in his spirit. We now take part in his death, okay? Our flesh has been crucified with Christ, the Bible tells us. And now we are alive again and have an eternal hope of glory, of the resurrected life and glory in Christ Jesus. No longer are we headed for only death and taxes, but now we can know that in Christ, we are headed for life and life eternal. Verse 4, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Everything around us here and now is dissolving into uselessness. Corruption is all around us. If our hope is in this life alone, we are going to be greatly disappointed. If our best life is now, man, there is no hope. A brand new Porsche, as beautiful and as powerful as it is, as soon as it's driven off the lot, it's already tanked in value. Why? Because it's no longer brand new, and things here break down. It's the nature of this fallen world around us. Trees rot. Flowers fade, even our bodies. Oh, man. Our bodies break down. Now, I've been losing weight over the past year, okay, slowly but surely, but so that I can kind of get back into exercise. I used to be very active as a kid, but it's not going so well anymore, right? The other day, Lindsay and I played pickleball for the first time. Those are our body doubles, by the way. So we played pickleball with some of the young adults here. And, I mean, let's be honest, okay? Pickleball, that sport, it started out for older folks who wanted to keep playing tennis but couldn't move very much, okay? Let's just be honest about what pickleball is. I pulled a muscle, you guys, playing pickleball in only an hour and a half of time. This body broke down. My pride was smashed as I hobbled home, and we only live three doors down from the pickleball court, so that is humiliating. But things are breaking down all the time. Scientists talk about half-life to things. Archaeologists continue worldwide uncovering old and forgotten and buried relics. But our inheritance in Christ is eternal, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. The glory that awaits us is forever. Perfection. It's not going to break down. It will never need replacing. It is eternal. And if you're one of the folks like me that sometimes we just kind of get down on ourselves and we think, well, you know, even if I just get 1 square foot of a place in heaven, I've made it, right? If you're one of the folks like me that sometimes get there, stop it. Stop allowing the lies of the enemy to make you forget the blessings of God. As the Holy Spirit through Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, that's us, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a tiny little space that says, oh, I just got there. Every spiritual blessing. This inheritance we have in Christ, it's going to blow your mind when we fully get to experience it. Not only will Jesus himself be there, which will be amazing, but he said with confidence, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And that inheritance in Christ is incorruptible and undefiled and will never fade away. And it's reserved. Reserved in heaven for you. I'm so glad God is not like me. Over the 23 or 24 years Lindsay and I have been together, we've had 22 anniversaries, probably thousands of dates, and many, many times of fun events and other fun times together. Countless. But I think I can count on one hand the amount of times I've successfully made reservations. I remember one year, it was one of our first years. living in a bigger city, okay, Lindsay and I are both from small towns where there's not so many people going out every single night for dinner and things like that. But bigger cities are different. Well, it was Valentine's Day. Yeah, I know. Okay, I know now. I thought, we have all of these food options now, right? I like food. I don't really like Valentine's Day, but I like food. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to gain some points this year, and we're going to go to dinner. Again, it was already Valentine's Day, okay? Yes, Joanne, you got it. You know where this is going, right? Long story short, let's just say I did not gain points that day as we sat around for 2 hours for a table. But God isn't like that. Praise the Lord. He's not surprised by a person's salvation. There's no waiting line to get into heaven while your inheritance is being prepared. He's not spontaneously scrambling to make sure there are enough blessings for you. From before the foundation of the world, dear saint, he chose you. He reserved a spot and an inheritance for you. Because he loves you. He always has, and he always will. You, who were kept, verse 5, by the power of God, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The life of the believer is a threefold life of redemption. Okay, we are redeemed and saved from the effects of sin upon belief in Jesus. Then we are sanctified, okay, saved from the power of sin in our lives throughout our lives. And we are glorified, saved from the very presence of sin and death. If we are in faith, okay, through faith, or because of faith, then we have nothing to fret, because it's the power of God that keeps us. The word there for keeps is passively present, okay? Meaning he's continually keeping us as if it's automatic. Until at last, we are face to face with him. In full realization of our salvation, glorified and perfected. Glorified and perfected. When we have put off the corruption for incorruption. In the very presence of the Almighty God. And in this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. So given all these things, these promises of incorruptible inheritance in Christ, we should be in a state of rejoicing. And the Holy Spirit would remind us, even if we're in heavy trials or light trials, okay, the word here for various trials literally means many colors. So no matter the color of the trial, rejoice. Because even when the heat is on, as Glenn Frey would suggest, even when the heat is on, we know that God is refining us, sanctifying us. And we're that much closer to glory than we were before. And the purpose of our sanctification is to refine our faith, that it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. And so we're left with, well, what does rejoicing then look like? If we are supposed to reflect on the blessings and grace and abundant mercy of God, and that should cause us to greatly rejoice, well, what does rejoicing then look like? Well, for that, I'll defer from my words, and I'll simply point us to the Holy Spirit's words through a man after God's own heart. So let's keep our finger here at 1 Peter, but let's head over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So what does rejoicing in God truly look like? Well, the proclamation of who he is, the proclamation of his wondrous works, and the call to others to join in. In short, it's the exaltation of his name. Now, David's words here, I'm not convinced he fully understood them to the fullness that we do. Forgives all your iniquities, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, your youth renewed like the eagles. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The Lord, Yahweh, has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. I think David wrote that and was like, I don't know what all this means yet. These are lines that David had not seen. They're prophetic. But oh, how wonderful they are for us. And that is why the man who sought the very heart of God would be able to call upon his very soul to worship God. For when we know all of who God is and all of what he has done in his love for us, we are left speechless and can only call upon our very souls to rejoice and to praise. Blessed be the Lord. Dear saints, remember not only the atrocities of the cross. Yes, it was horrifying, and we sent him there. But remember, dear saint, he set his face like flint, drank the cup of God's wrath to the dregs. Why? For the joy set before him. That joy was the redemption plan being fulfilled and him gaining his inheritance, which is you and me, a pure and spotless bride, that we should be called sons and daughters of God. Begotten again to a living hope. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. And it's in the arena of worship and praise and blessing that we begin to gain our inheritance. Back in 1 Peter, verse 8, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, we do not see him yet. Yet believing, when we rejoice with the joy of the Lord, we enter boldly into the throne room of grace, full of glory. Then we are receiving. Notice that? The word there is present tense. Receiving. That means now. That means today, here. We are receiving the end of our faith, which is the fully realized salvation of our souls. Again, the sanctification to that pure and spotless bride. God's blessings are poured out constantly on his children. And the salvation of the saints is truly a miraculous thing. Verse 10, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. As alluded to, the prophecies of the Old Testament were magnificently mysterious to even the human writers of those prophecies. Magnificently mysterious. They would write it down, and then I imagine they just go, whoa, what was that? The Spirit would come upon them, the pen would flow, and then they reread it and marvel about it. The Spirit was ministering to us thousands of years ago. This is why prophecy is so important. It's not only a great evangelism tool, right? It's one of the best. The fulfilled prophecies of the Bible are unmatched. But prophecies are for our benefit. Do you realize that you have more from God than even David did when he lived? More than Isaiah, Ezekiel. Now, I think we can all agree about Jeremiah, right? Poor guy. But Moses? Yeah. You have more from God today than Moses did while he lived. We have more in Christ than Adam gave up or lost. Think about that for a while. We have more in Christ than Adam gave up. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. G-R-A-C-E. Say it with me. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's grace is so out of this world so amazingly glorious, so complete, and full of love and mercy, that even the angels desire to study it. I imagine it goes a little bit like this, okay? The angels doing their angelic things, you know, fighting battles, delivering messages. You guys know all the angel things that get done. And one is flying down the road at Shadow Lawn, and something kind of catches his eye. And he turns into the local pickleball game. That's twice I've mentioned pickleball. I don't know. I think I might be in trouble at this point. But the angel is flying on by, stops to watch, and then he sees this 42-year-old ginger hobbling along, trying to reach and hit a ball back to the other side, even though he has caused his team to be down 10-2, okay? And the angel goes, "Whoa! Are you kidding me right now? He has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ? God is truly amazing." Even that guy, God loves and can do miracles in. And the angels, they look into our lives to study the very grace of God, for it has been revealed in you and in me and nobody else. God's grace is on display in your life, dear saint, that even the angels gaze upon it to study it. The grace of God is unmatched. God's ability to do what he does is impossible for men. But with God, nothing is impossible. And even the angels are blown away by God's awesome plan of redemption. When we trust in the Word of God, when we respond to God's love for us with our own love back to Him, when we rejoice because of what He has promised to those who love Him, that's when we receive all His blessings, which He desires to shower upon us each and every day. That's why we're in this battle. Because the enemy would love to help you forget it. He would love it if you took a back seat and decided that just getting in is good enough. The enemy would love it if you were distracted from God's grace and His abundant mercy for you. But the Spirit dwelling within you, who makes intercession for you, who guides, who sanctifies, and seals you, he says, "Bless the Lord, for he has done great things, and he is for you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he has a glorious an incorruptible inheritance for you. Look unto your Savior, dear saint, for your salvation is so close. Glory awaits us, reserved from before time even began. For you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you are the apple of his eye. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for your abundant mercy toward us. Lord, that you saw our depravity. You saw that we had a debt we could never pay. You saw the corruption. And Lord, you determined to fix it. Lord, and not only did you fix it, you made everything so much better. Lord, we look forward to the day where we fully receive the fullness of our redemption. Lord, and that we gain the fullness of our inheritance, which is you. Lord, thank you so much for blessing us. Father God, thank you for your redemption plan that you have executed perfectly. Lord, come quickly, we pray. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you. Today, tonight, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen.